This is Forrest Solis interviewing Angela Larkin. Okay. September, or for the Creative Push Project, September 19th at, I'm sorry, I forgot,
12:15.
I have some sort of problem, I think. You know, it's funny because I really did think there's something happened to me. There was some sort of, like, I fell on my head as a baby or just something. But my son is exactly the same. And he, nothing's happened to him. So. Anyway, so if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yeah. My name is Angela Larkin. I'm a graphic designer. I work with my husband, Kyle, as well as I have a full-time job where I do mostly graphic design for Whole Foods. So I do environmental graphic design predominantly, which is like all Whole Foods are different. So when you go in, every single one is designed completely differently. They're not like templatey, like a Safeway or something. So we do, yeah. Lots of signs, big wall pieces, like anything that's hanging decor-wise in the space. So I design signs, basically.
No, that's not true. No, I'm totally fascinated by it. But so did you work with this new one on
20th? Yeah, the Camelback store is one of mine, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm, thanks. That's so impressive.
Yeah.
All right, so, and you went to ASU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle and I went to ASU both for undergrad and graduate. School, so.
Success story. ASU success story.
Yeah, sure.
I see. Are you in touch with the current faculty or anything like
that? Yeah, well, because Kyle still teaches. So, yeah. And I taught for a bit while I was in grad school there, like some of the undergrad classes and stuff.
I don't have you guys coming and talking to alum and, you know, because,
We do some of that. I mean, I go and I do reviews for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like one of my. Colleagues teaches a bunch of second year classes, and so I come in and do like the midterm and end of year reviews for her, and I come and do a little bit of that for, I don't know, less frequently for like the grad students and stuff, but yeah, I've done a little coming in talking. Kyle every year, as part of, you know, a studio that he teaches, does like a photography, just like, hey, because we're going to be doing a project where you need photos, and like, let me give you some very basic information on how to take photos that aren't terrible, which is basically all I can really talk to, but like, I go in that day and like, you know, talk about like how a camera works and stuff. And,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much for agreeing to do this. So you have one child?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One child, and there was a miscarriage after?
It was an ectopic pregnancy, so it's where the fertilized egg implants in your fallopian tube. So it's, I had to go have it surgically, like my right fallopian tube had to be taken out.
Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, I can talk about it, yeah.
So if we could have you talk about the first birth,
mm-hmm.
and then the second pregnancy. And we might treat it as two separate, we'll just have to see how it goes. But, so if you can think back to like, as far back as you can, to the beginning, to the conception, and take us back so that we get can be oriented, you know, like if it was a cold winter's night, or, you know, was it planned, was it not planned? Our last speaker had angry sex for the conception. So they don't have to get too detailed, but that
was
classic.
I don't know if I could describe the specific day, but...
You know, but like, was it, you know, the whole thing?
Yeah,
was
yeah.
Ovulation kits and, you know, scheduled...
For the first time I was pregnant, it was planned. We'd been married for, I'm trying to think, I guess this was 2012. So we'd been married for just about a year, and the date of like when we conceived is around our anniversary. Like for, so that's how I remember, like, oh yeah, it was basically around then. Wasn't actually our anniversary, but it was like around that time. We'd been married for a year. We had been together for a super long time. Like, we started dating in college, like, junior year. So we'd been together for maybe, like, 8 years or something. But even though we'd only been married for a year. So, I was, I think, 29. And I just was like, okay, I think, you know, like, we've been together a long time. You know, we were in a good situation, so, so we decided that we were going to start trying. Like, we had friends kind of all of our friends, like, seemed like they were either, like, about to, like, have a baby or, like, were getting pregnant and stuff. And it was just like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do this. Like, I think we can probably do this if other people we know are doing this. So when we started trying, it was the very first month that we were trying that we got pregnant with him. So it wasn't like, now that I've had a second pregnancy, I've kind of had both extremes. But, like, it happened really, really fast the first time. And I couldn't tell you, like, when specifically, like, it happened. But it was easy. It was, like, we were in that very, like, first, like, I don't know, like, we're just going to try this. And we're going to see, like, we're not going to plan anything or, like, yeah, we're not going to look at, like, ovulation cycles. Like, we're just going to, like, go off birth control and see if this works. And it happened so, so fast. So fast, even, I think I didn't realize that I was late because I wasn't paying that much attention because I was like, that seems real unlikely that it's going to be like this month. And so it was just after 4th of July that I found out that I was pregnant, and I had drank like a lot of liquor on 4th of July. And I remember feeling like, oh crap, this is so bad. But yeah, like I just remember that I was... like, I was like, huh, I should check the calendar and just see. And I was probably, like, 3 or 4 days late. And I think I was even a little bit in denial that, like, that could be what it was, because I didn't want to get my hopes up, you know? And so we had friends over that were, like, in from out of town, and they had brought wine. I remember, like, having a glass of wine, even though I was like, I might be pregnant. I'm not going to, like, you know, pay attention or whatever. When I told Kyle after that, like, oh, I'm like, by the way, like 4 or 5 days late now. And he's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you need to like take a test. And I was like, well, I mean, it just, I could be just whatever, real regular, like who knows? But yeah, so we got a test. I don't even think we had one at the house. And I woke up like super, super early the next morning. Like, I think I was like, well, I'm just going to do it, like, first thing in the morning. Of course, I woke up at, like, 4 and 5 and 6 and finally, like, did it. And it was, like, positive, like, immediately because I was probably close to a week late. And, yeah, I just remember, like, my whole, I don't know, it was shocking to me even though it was intentional and, like, expected and probably very obvious to someone not in total denial about it. Like, but yeah, I just, like, Kyle was still in bed, and I think I had woken up when I had probably, you know, walked out of the room and stuff. So when I came back in, he was awake, and I was like, we're having a baby? yeah, and I mean, he was excited, and, like, we just got back into bed, and we hung out, and like, that morning, I remember, like, we went out to breakfast, and it was, like, it was really nice, I mean, because you know, we were the only people that knew. It was, like, our special secret. And, like, we went out and we had, like, breakfast to kind of celebrate, like, funny thinking of going out to breakfast now, but with a two-year-old. But yeah, like, I don't know. It was just, like, it was exciting. We were really happy. And I had no, like, really, I wasn't worried about anything. And, I mean, the rest of my pregnancy went really smoothly. Like, I, you know, never had to worry about anything, which was nice. But it's just, it's funny now to think of it because I'm comparing it to, like, the second time where, like, things did go wrong. And, like, I think I knew more things that could go wrong. Where the first time I was, like, happy-go-lucky. Like, everything's easy. And
so can you talk about the experience of pregnancy? Like, when maybe... Mm-hmm. You started really feeling pregnant and, you know, just kind of tried to get back into that headspace.
Sure. I started feeling the first real signs of being pregnant when I was maybe like 6 weeks. I started to feel sick. So I had pretty typical morning sickness from about 6 weeks to maybe like 14 weeks-ish, like, you know, second half of the first trimester. We were traveling. We had a wedding to go to in Seattle one weekend, and we had another wedding to go to in London the following weekend, and that was kind of in the middle of that first trimester, and I had work travel and stuff. I think I've traveled maybe to like three, like I took three different like flights and stuff, that first like month that we knew. And yeah, I mean, I actually had like fairly mild morning sickness. I never threw up, but I was just, I always said it was like having a hangover because I just kind of felt like shit all the time. Like, I always felt like I'm not gonna barf, but I feel kind of like barfing, and I'm just like really tired, and I just don't like talk to me. And even, but yeah, I was like, I don't know, there's that romantic notion of it though, because it's like, you know what's happening, you're like, I'm pregnant, that's why I'm feeling sick. So I think like there was, I don't know, it was kind of like, it didn't feel that bad, even though like I felt kind of crappy all the time, and I was like hiding it from work, and I was like traveling for work and going places, but I hadn't told them yet, so I couldn't really explain why I didn't want to go through the what do they call that thing, the back scatter x-ray thing that you have to walk through.
That's so much more official. I was gonna call it, yeah, a metal detector.
Yeah, well, you can walk through with a metal detector, but yeah, I'm not even sure that's really what it's called, but yeah. But yeah, I remember like I had to go and get the pat down, you know, the like freedom massage, all the time, and it was like people were waiting for me because it takes forever. You have to stand there and wait for them to find a female, and like, I don't know why, but there's like two Homeland Security female at any time, and they're not where you are, and so it always takes forever, and so people were like waiting for me, and I think they just thought I was like really worried about it, you know. I think this was kind of in that time period where it was relatively new and people were like a little bit nervous about it, and yeah, so, and I was like holding, you know, the group up or whatever when I was, we were traveling, and I was like, sorry, I just really don't know what's going on with this whole radiation thing or whatever. So I'm sure they thought I was nuts, but yeah. And then that there was that period between like where I was feeling fine, stomach wise, I wasn't feeling morning sickness anymore, but I hadn't started to feel movement yet. I think that's the worst, because you're like, I don't have an actual physical reminder that I'm pregnant. So you're like, I'm assuming everything's fine. And I'm not like a super worrier just as a personality anyway. But, you know, like I had other friends who were pregnant at the same time. And I'd hear, you know, you just hear people be like, oh, I'm like, I'm really worried about this. I'm really worried about this. And you're like, should I be worried about this thing? Like, I remember knowing somebody that bought one of those like Doppler things so they could like listen to the heartbeat at their own house so that they could just remind themselves that everything was fine. And I remember thinking like, that's a little much, but either it was like, you know, that time period where you're like, I guess I'm pregnant. I mean, every time I go to the doctor, they agree. So I probably am, but like they're, yeah. And then I probably started feeling movement around 18 weeks, maybe. So that was exciting. And that's like where, then I kind of felt like, okay, that now I can kind of, pay attention to those feelings and not to, and not worry about it.
So how was the weight gain, the bloating, and all of the other stuff that comes
along? I don't remember being that bad until later in the pregnancy. I think I gained 25 or 30 pounds. It was like the normal amount. It wasn't like a huge amount. I mean, I just remember feeling really uncomfortable fairly early. I have a friend who had her baby, and she like went on like a 4-mile hike, I think the like a week before it was born. And I was like, I think, you know, from maybe 2 months out, I was so uncomfortable of like, it was difficult to, you know, get off the couch or to like walk around the block. And I just, yeah, like I think I carried really low in that, you know, the last couple of months were like, were not great. And I remember having to buy new flip-flops right before I went into the hospital because like none of my shoes really fit. So like I definitely had some of that in my feet, but it felt like it happened right at the end. Stretch marks too. I think I was like, I don't think I'm really getting too many stretch marks. And then really in the past, like the last like 3 weeks maybe was when they like all showed up. I got like all the stretch marks, all the swelling, you know, all that stuff. But like, I just remember like, oh man, I just had like, he was like carrying so low. I felt like I was being like stabbed in the crotch, like every time I was walking around, like towards right before, you know, probably the last month or so of it. Like, I just remember I'd be like walking normally and then be like, ugh, as like I don't know, it'd be like a foot or something that would, but like I was pretty comfortable. I mean, I had that really nice middle, you know, few months where I still had like energy and, you know, was like comfortable and everything was good.
Did you have a plan, or were you just, the plan was to go to the hospital?
I had a very loose plan. I mean, I had a pretty, I mean, in the end, I had a pretty, you know, medical birth, which isn't necessarily what I was looking for, but I was pretty open to just knowing that, like, the amount of control you really have is not great over what happens. And, I mean, when I actually did give birth, it did kind of go not how I expected, but I was expecting to be surprised, I think, so I wasn't super concerned about it. I just said, I remember so many people telling me, like, you can make a plan, but your baby is going to do what they're going to do. So I never really made one. I just kind of had a general sense of, like, my mom, you know, had both my brother and I naturally, and I was like, well, I, you know, probably shoot for that, but, like, I wasn't opposed to, like, getting an epidural, you know, if I felt like I wanted one. My plan was basically to go in and just probably just hold off on getting anything I didn't need until, like, I felt like, you know, it was more necessary. So when I went in, you know, I think I was, I remember them telling me at one point that, like, they didn't think I was in active labor. I think I was dilated, like, 6 centimeters, and I was, like, you know, contractions were, like, every minute and a half or something. They're like, well, I don't think you're quite in active labor yet. And I was like, I am going to punch you. You are a terrible person. And that's, you know, about when I was like, okay, I guess I'll have that epidural if it's going to get, like, 100 times worse than this. Great. But, yeah, I didn't really have a plan. And I remember them just, like, they kept asking me, like, well, do you want an epidural, or do you want, you know, pain medication or whatever they say? And I just kept saying, well, like, eh, like, I'll hold off a little bit more and stuff. But, yeah. But.
So when did you, okay, tell me about what, how getting to the hospital. Like, your water broke, or you started?
Yeah, my water broke at home, which I feel like is a thing that always happens in movies, but they tell you is really not going to probably happen to you. But that's how mine happened. Yeah, I was at home. My parents had come into town. They live in California, and they were coming for 2 weeks. And so they came, like, 2 days before my due date or something. I mean, they were kind of cutting it close. And I remember that the doctor had told me I had been 3 centimeters dilated for, like, the last month of the pregnancy or something. So I remember at 36 weeks, I was like, oh my God, I could have this baby anytime, you know? And then it didn't progress from that at all until, you know, I was actually having the baby. But my parents had come into town, and I was like, whew, okay, now if, like, I have the baby, like, everything's cool. Like, they're here, like, they can help out. You know, my mom can be in the hospital with us and stuff. So they came. It was my actual due date. I went to the doctor and that morning, and they were like, oh, yeah, like, I think things were starting to kind of happen a little bit. And so the doctor stripped my membranes and said, like, hey, I'm the one that's in the hospital tonight, because I go to a practice that has several doctors, so you just don't know who you're going to actually get. She's like, well, I'll be the one, you know, at the hospital tonight, so I'll probably see you. I was like, okay, cool. See ya. Yeah, and I went home, and I remember just feeling kind of uncomfortable the whole day, like, which I was feeling uncomfortable all the time, so, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I just kind of felt crappy. I just remember feeling crappy, and, like, I went for a walk around the neighborhood, and I ate a lot of pineapple, because someone had told me, like, that was a thing, which I didn't really believe, but I like pineapple, so I was like, whatever, I'll just eat this pineapple anyways. And, yeah, I was just sitting at the counter in our kitchen, and felt my water break and was like, you know, what's happening? Am I peeing myself? Like, what's going on? And went and realized that's what it was. And I remember I didn't, like, I don't know why I wasn't more prepared, but I didn't have, like, maxi pads or anything, like, that was really absorbent, you know. I had, like, panty liners. I'm like, well, this is not going to help. And so I sent, you know, I knew that, like, I had time. So I was like, well, I'm going to send Kyle and take my mom, because you probably don't know anything about, you know, lady stuff. So I sent them to, like, CVS or something to buy, like, a package of stuff. And I took a shower, and I was like, oh, it's whatever, this is fine. Started having contractions. I think this was, like, around 8 o'clock. So, you know, I remember just being like, okay, like, cool. Like, I was excited. I was nervous. Like, I just remember, like, I had a yoga ball thing, and I was like, I'll sit on this for a while. And, you know, I think they had said if your water breaks, you have, like, 6 hours to get to the hospital. Or, like, you should come either when your contractions are at whatever, 5 minutes apart or something, or if it's been this long and you, you know, because you're losing fluid. So yeah, I waited. The contractions got more intense, and I just remember, like, my friend had given birth a couple months before, and I had been, like, grilling her, like, what do they feel like? Like, how do you know what it is and stuff? And as it turned out, he was sunny side up, and I was having back labor. So I never felt anything like what people had told me it would feel like. It was just, like, painful in my back. Like, it really didn't feel like the way people describe a typical contraction. So I think for a while I was like, is this happening? Oh, I can tell because I'm having trouble speaking that's what this is happening. But it feels nothing like what I was expecting. It just felt like, you know, a lot of, like, pressure and pain and, like, kind of, like, really bad, like, cramps. But I never felt that kind of, like, wrapping, squeezing feeling that people talk about. And, like, I think I did at one point get to, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours of, like, being at home, and just, you know, we started to time them, and we're like, okay, they're getting to be, they're close, and, like, okay, I think we're going to go. And it was, like, 11 o'clock at night. And so Kyle and I drove in one car, and my parents took a separate car because they were, you know, knew they were going to be, like, probably wanting to come home and stuff. And Kyle, we don't live super far from, the hospital. Yeah. We don't live super far from the hospital. And so I think it was, like, less than 10-minute drive or something. And I just remember feeling so awful, and just, like, every little movement was so painful. And Kyle will talk about when we got into the parking garage, the actual parking garage at the hospital for the maternity section is, like, you're supposed to park on the third floor or something. And it's, like, you know, you're spiraling around, and there are speed bumps every few feet or whatever. Felt like every few feet. I'm sure it's, like, every 100, whatever. But yeah, so we were going through this thing, and Kyle probably was going 4 miles an hour or something. And I was like, oh my God, slow down, like, yelling at him to, like, I'm sure he was going like this, but it just felt like it was all the bumps in the world, like, were in, you know, in that car. But yeah, we pulled in and went into the hospital, and we had already checked in. So I think the process was pretty easy, and I was, like, not able to really, like, articulate myself. So, you know, he was able to just do the quick part of that. And they brought us into the, like, triage area where they have the little curtained rooms. And they wanted to, like, check the amniotic fluid to make sure that's what it was. And it wasn't just, like, you're peeing yourself, like, and can't help it for, like, 4 hours. Like, no, I'm pretty sure that's not what it is. But, yeah, so they had to check that to make sure that it was that was really what it was. And so I think we hung out in that room for, like, an hour, and I'm, like, having contractions regularly. And I remember when they finally did say they were going to move us to an actual, like, labor and delivery room, that, like, I was wearing the hospital gown, which I think is open in the back, and they asked me if I wanted to walk or be wheeled, you know, to the labor and delivery room. And I was like, I would prefer to walk, because I knew that was, like, good for, you know, kind of progressing things along. And I also just kind of, everything sucked, and I was like, I just whatever. I'd rather just, like, walk if it's going to be better. And it was so far. Like, I thought we were just going to go down the hall, I think. And we, like, went over here. We went to this other building and, like, around. And I remember that, like, the whole time, like, the gown I'm wearing, there's no back to it. So my butt is, like, hanging out and just, like, walking through the waiting room, all these people. And I could not have cared less. I was like, here's my butt. Get a good look. Whatever. Because, like, you're just so out of it. And when we finally got to a labor and delivery room, like, they settled me into bed. I wanted to take a shower. And they had, like, they have, you know, showers and stuff and baths in there and that you're supposedly able to use. And I remember they were, they weren't, like, argumentative about it, but they really didn't want me to. And I was like, I'm sorry, what is it here for then? Like, isn't it, like, for this? Like, well, but they're like, you know, we want to keep you hooked up to the, like, monitors all the time. And I'm like, everything seems fine, right? Like, everything seems fine. So finally they let me take, and they were like, no longer than 10 minutes, and they didn't want the water to be hot. And they wanted me to sit, because they didn't want me to, like, fall in the tub. So, like, but just Kyle went in with me to the little room that's in the bigger room, and and I'm, like, turning it up hot, and, like, I'm steaming, because I wanted it to be shooting right on my back, because that's where I was hurting, and I wanted, like, the hot, like, high-pressure water, like, on my back. And, you know, I remember Kyle just being, like, we're not supposed to be doing this, and I'm, like, shut up! Like, I don't care. This is not bad for you. Like, I know it's not bad for you. Like, I have a brain, and I've read this is fine. But I think they were just, like, worried that I would fall over or slip or something. But yeah, I, like, stood in there for the 10 minutes that they gave me, and then they made me get out again. Time is a little blurry at this point. I mean, I'm sure, like, a few hours passed, I think, and they came and checked me, and I was, like, at 6 centimeters or something, and I think I'd been 5 when I checked in. And, we're like, this isn't going quite as fast as we wanted it to. It looks like your bag of waters or whatever they call it is, like, it's got a tear in it, and that's why you've been, like, leaking fluid, but it's not actually completely ruptured. So we want to basically break it the rest of the way. We think it's kind of in the way. So, like, the baby's kind of behind it, and this full bag is, like, sitting there kind of, like, blocking progress. So we just want to kind of break it the rest of the way, and then we think things will speed up. And I was like, yeah, that's totally fine. I think this was the point where someone said, I mean, and then we think, like, you'll really go into more active labor. Like, you're not really in active labor now. And I was like, I am going to murder you. This is terrible. I cannot believe that you would even suggest that to me. And I had had a friend that had this done and had told me it was, like, incredibly painful, which now I think other people have told me it's not. So I think that was just my fear, but that was the point where I said, okay, I'll take that epidural now. Why don't you do it before you do the breaking the waters, and then, like, I'll have it for that portion, and then it, like, I was worried that I would have a whole lot of pain after that, and then I would have to wait, like, an hour or something for someone to, like, come back and be able to help, like, an anesthesiologist to come back. So I said, like, let's just do this now. And, super nice. I remember the anesthesiologist was, like, super nice. I could also, there was someone having a natural birth in the room next door to me who was bellowing like a cow and was terrifying to, like, listen to that as I was, like, at, like, 6 centimeters or whatever. And I remember the anesthesiologist coming in and, you know, she's, like, setting me all up and stuff, and she's talking to the nurse, and what's going on over there? And Lily's like, oh, it's a natural birth. And she's like, I hate natural births. I was like, well, that's lovely. I mean, it's sort of your job, like, to not do that, I guess. But, I mean, it struck me as odd. But, like, she did a great job putting in the epidural. I've heard people say they have problems with them. I didn't. Like, it was totally fine. And I just remember feeling, like, such relief and just so warm. I hadn't been sleeping very well for a while, you know, just because you're, like, really uncomfortable at that point. And I remember, like, laying back in the bed, and they had put all these blankets on me, and I was, like, so snuggly and warm and cozy, and it was, I fell asleep, and I probably slept for a couple hours, you know, maybe, like, 3 or 4 hours, and they came back, and they were like, oh, you're at a 10, and I was like, this is the best. I should have done this from the beginning. Like, I just got to, like, sleep and snuggle up, like, to, and now I'm, like, ready to have this baby. Let's do this. And so they're like, okay, like, I think we're, you know, we're ready to push. Like, let's do it. And they set me all up. And I mean, I couldn't feel my legs, which wasn't ideal, but, like, it seemed fine. They were able to, like, just move me around and kind of hold them and stuff. And I had no pain. And I pushed for a while. Like, I want to say the first session was, like, an hour or two. And they had realized at some point during this, like, that he was sunny side up. And they had not figured that out prior to this. It's kind of hard to tell, I guess, because when they're, like, reaching their hand in and they're feeling for, like, they feel the top of their head. And it's not really super easy to tell whether there's which side is the front and the back. It's just a dome, right? So they know, and they hadn't been doing ultrasounds or anything, because otherwise everything was normal and fine, and they had just not been checking. So, like, oh shoot, well, this is fine, we can still do this. And they tried, like, stuff to get him to flip around. They tried, several people tried to manually flip him around, and I'm glad that I'm really glad at this point that I had the epidural, because I have a feeling that would have been awful. But, like, they were, like, getting right-handed people, left-handed people. They told me that my doctor, who was there to deliver, was, like, one of the best people at getting the babies to flip over. She came in and, well, she was one of the, you know, the people that was trying. It wasn't like there was a line. But she was trying to, like, get him to turn over, because what would happen is, like, I would push and he would get hung up on my pelvis. And so they actually had told me, even, like, fairly early on in the process, like, oh, we can see the top of his head, and then it kind of gets sucked back in. And, but, like, he couldn't get over, like, that hump. And, I mean, this is a point, too, where I think it's kind of tough, because this is, like, the classic, like, medicalized, you know, birth in America, like, where, you know, possibly if I had been in a different situation, like, if I had been with a midwife or something, you know, like, had a doula or something, like, they might have been able to say, oh, well, let's, like, try some other stuff and whatever. But the OB was like, okay, well, we're gonna try this for a bit, but, like, we're gonna give you a few hours, and then, like, we're gonna have to do a C-section if we can't get the baby to, like, either flip over or, like, come out or whatever. Well, I guess those are the options. But so I was like, I did not want a C-section. That was really the only thing that I was, like, trying really hard to avoid. But so we tried, I pushed for a couple hours that first session. And I mean, everything seemed like it was fine, other than the fact that he was not upside down, but, like, flipped over. So it just seemed like, well, there's a pretty good chance we're going to get him to flip over, and we're going to, you know, or, like, this will probably still work. I remember the nurse that I had was so great, and she was so positive and supportive, and, like, she just wanted to help me do whatever I wanted to do. And she was, like, awesome at, like, you know, coaching me through the actual pushing and stuff. Like, I remember feeling like, this is awesome. Like, this is fine. Like, go epidurals. Like this is totally cool. Except, like, he wouldn't come out. So they're like, okay, well, let's take a break. And they let me take a break. They tried this thing. They have, like, a peanut-shaped ball that, like, if you had an epidural and you can't, like, feel your legs, it kind of helps do some of the stuff that they would have you do otherwise. So they kind of rotate you on your side. They have the peanut ball, like, so that your legs are squishing it, and they, like, rotate you back and forth and just try to get you to, like, lay on one side for a while and on the other side. Like, they kind of move you around to try and get, like, that to naturally happen. So we did try that for, like, a couple hours. gave me a break. They came back and we did like more pushing, had more people try to like manually flip them over. And at the end of, I think, 4 hours, like I was just starting to get really tired, and they were like, this is just becoming less and less effective the longer we do it. And because my water had broken and like, you know, probably like, I don't know, 14 hours before or something, they just kind of wanted to make sure everything was good. I mean, nobody was in distress. Like, baby wasn't in distress. I was fine. But they were like, this is the direction this is going. Like, you're probably going to end up with a C-section. And when they finally, like, were like, okay, this is, like, the end of this. Like, we're done. We're not trying more stuff. Like, this is what's happening now. Or, like, it wasn't, like, a dire situation. So they weren't like, this is what's happening now, rushing me in there. But they were just like, we're going to, like, go set up, like, the OR because, like, that's where this is going. And I just remember, like, crying because that was, like, the only thing I really – I was, like – I felt like my body was, like – did all the other stuff that it was supposed to do, you know, and that, like, I knew that, like, all this other stuff could have gone wrong. Like, I knew so many people who had to be induced. I knew tons of people that, like, had, you know, babies that were breech or, like, that had stuff start to happen once they were in labor. Like, none of that stuff had happened to me. I was like, this is all great. And then the fact that, like, right at the finish line, they were like, I'm gonna go, like, do a C-section. That was, like, really heartbreaking for me. But, you know, I remember the doctor came back in and she saw me, like, crying because I just signed the consent form. She's like, I hope those are, like, happy tears. And I was like, they are not. They are not happy tears. I am very upset about this. But, I mean, I was also trying to be like, hey, I just want to, like, be done and, like, see my baby, too. So, I mean, I was really upset, but at the same time, I was like, okay, except that this is happening, let's just do it. And then while we were waiting for them to set up the OR, one of the things they had done to try to help me push differently or better was they had turned the epidural down and to see if, like, it would help to have me feel it more, which it didn't, but that was fine. It was never, like, really horribly painful. But I was like, oh, there's a button you can turn that up and down. I had not known that up to this point. But I remember sitting there and saying to Kyle, like, hey, since we have to wait 20 minutes or whatever, can you crank that back up to, like, whatever, what, like, click it a couple times? Because, like, I'm really starting to get, like, uncomfortable. And it was, like, in a cartoon. Like, he, like, had the line and he was trying to find where the button was. And he's, like, feeding along, you know, his hands along the line, and it wasn't plugged into anything anymore. He got to the end and it wasn't actually plugged in because they were about to move the bed. But so, like, they had just disconnected everything, so I wasn't actually hooked up to the whatever the drugs are that they give you that way anymore. And I was like, that's, like, where I was really started to I freaked out because I was like, I don't know how long, like, I have to wait here. And I'm not, like, hooked up to anything, and it really hurts, and I can't move my legs, and I can't, like, move. I felt, like, really kind of claustrophobic a little bit. But I'm sure it was, like, terrible at the time, but now it's just kind of a blur in my memory because, like, you just don't think about it. You don't remember that stuff the most. But it can't have been very long. I'm sure it was just a couple of minutes before they moved me and yeah.
But you, when you went in and they started the C-section, you didn't feel anything, though, because your epidural hadn't worn off or anything.
No, and they change what they give you then anyways, because I think what they give you in, the, like, the labor and delivery for your epidural is, like, just, it's kind of like a nerve-blocking painkiller. But when you go in and you're having the C-section, they give you a whole bunch more stuff, because, like, it's a totally different feeling, because I felt like myself with the epidural. Just my legs were numb. But, like,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to pause you for one second. I'm worried that we're running a little bit long. Mm-hmm. And what is our next person's name? How do I say it properly? It's Cherie.
Cherie. Yeah.
That's right?
Yes.
Cherie. Okay. I have to run next door just to tell them to bring her over here.
Okay.
So go on.
I'm just
going to
pause it. I can't stop touching it.
You are.
I know. And then, like, you're like, stop touching it. I'm like, okay. And then I completely forget.
I was
four seconds later.
Inching it back. Yeah. But I didn't want to distract you because what you're saying is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we're recording again. Okay. So, so maybe take us to, like.
Yeah. They move me into the OR and, you know, move me onto the table, and have a different anesthesiologist who's a man. I think the only man that was involved in any of it, because my doctor was a woman and my nurses were women. And but he was very, very soothing, which was nice. Like, and he was the person that was kind of my guide to the process, because he sat right above my head, you know, kind of like laying on the thing, and my arms are out like Jesus on the cross, like style, and they're, because they're like putting stuff, you know, in your arms or whatever they're doing. But yeah, he stood over my head and he was kind of walking me through everything that was happening. Okay, now they're going to do this. Now they're going to do this. And I was a little bit afraid, like, yeah, what if I do feel something, you know, when they like, but he was like, I forget what he said. It was so funny in the moment, but it was something along the lines of, okay, like, you know, poking me, like, do you feel anything? Do you feel anything? And I was like, no. And he was like, good, because, like, they're cut open your stomach already. I was like, oh, good, I feel nothing. So that's handy. But it was, I think I was saying they change drugs when you go in there, because I started to feel so sleepy. And, you know, you're behind the curtain. You can only really see your, I don't know, I have, like, photos of this. And, you know, you can just see, like, my face, and I have like a cap on and stuff, but you can't even see my arms. But the anesthesiologist is talking to me and, you know, walking me through everything, and he's like, you know, if you feel anything, let me know and I will like fix it for you. And I started feeling some pain in my right shoulder, and I'm like, excuse me, like my shoulder hurts, like thinking that might be like some kind of a cramp or something. And he goes, oh yeah, that's shoot, what did he call it? It's like pain that's migrated from one part of your body to another because it doesn't have anywhere to go. So he said that's because they have your uterus outside of your body right now, and their uterus doesn't have any pain receptors in it. So the pain is finding a different place to go. And I was like, that is the weirdest thing ever. Even in my like drug stupor, I was like, really? That's what's happening? Like, that's really strange. But he managed to do something to like the arrangement of drugs or whatever that like made that pain go away. At least I was like, I'm having this. And he said, okay, I'll fix it for you, but that XY or FY, this is what it is. Like, okay, so strange. But yeah, like, I mean, I think C-sections are kind of, they're rough, you know. My husband's best friend is a family doctor, so he's like attended tons and tons of births, and he's like, yeah, they just go in there and they get the baby out, and it's not like gentle, and it's, you know, I didn't, you know, feel any of that, but I was amazed at how fast he was born. I think we went into the operating room and I was in there for maybe like an hour total. Like 4 minutes into it is when my son was born. So it's like really fast. They get you down there and they're just like choo, 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 slice and like pull the baby out. And yeah, he immediately cried. He was perfectly healthy. Like he got high, the scores, whatever they are that they give him in the hospital. Apgar, yeah, he had like all nines, I think, on his Apgar scores. And so he did fine. He was great. He had a full head of dark hair. Which all fell out a couple months later. He's totally blonde now. But he had a full head of dark hair when he was born. And yeah, he was, he cried immediately. And they, like, you know, barely cleaned him up, just wrapped something over him. They brought him over to me. But because my arms were, like, attached to the table, I was like, I couldn't really do anything. And I was so, so sleepy. I just remember, like, I was fighting so hard to stay awake. Because I obviously, like, I wanted to make sure everything was fine with him. So, like hand him to Kyle, and they bring him around to my head, and, you know, there's, like, pictures of me where I'm, like, you know, drunkenly looking at him. But, like, they're just kind of holding him right here. And Kyle and I have been deciding between two names. So it was either going to be Owen or Cooper. And I remember he held him up to me, and I was like, he looks like an Owen, doesn't he? And Kyle was like, oh, yeah. Like, I think he would have said, yeah, to whatever. Because I was, like, having my insides cut out. Like, yeah, whatever you say, that's great. Like, oh, and it is. And then they, like, took Kyle and Owen to the recovery room, and I promptly fell asleep immediately and, you know, woke up in the recovery room later. And I know Kyle told me that it took longer than they thought it was going to, and he was, like, in the recovery room waiting for me with the baby and, like, waiting and waiting and waiting, and he didn't know. You know, they would come back in, he'd be like, how's everything going? Like, you guys kind of told me should be done by now. And they were like, oh, yeah, she's fine. She's fine. She's just almost here.
We're just going to pause, and then I want to wrap up. Do I hit the record? Yeah. All right, so can you think back to what you were saying? That Kyle was getting nervous.
Oh, yeah, he was just really, I think it was, like, really nerve-wracking. I can imagine being in that situation and being, like, you know, concerned, and I'm holding this baby, which I have no idea what to do with, and, I mean, like, being the husband, too, it's not like you can even, like, what do you know, you can't, like, feed him or, you know, do anything, and so I think they waited, it wasn't like it took hours and hours, but it took maybe, like, 45 minutes longer than it was supposed to, so I think that's because I lost a lot of blood, and they had to, I actually don't know what they had to do specifically, but things involving that. So yeah, it just took them longer to, like, get everything sewn back up and good to go. So yeah, then I came into the recovery room, and I mean, that's where I woke up. There's pictures of me holding Owen, like, right away. And I see sometimes, like, these really pretty pictures of people in the hospital. I look like shit. Like, my, one of my eyes is, like, because the medication's all wearing off, one of my eyes is half closed and it won't, like, open when the other one is open. So I'm, like, doing this weird face in all these couple of photos that we have, but yeah, like, we, you know, I just remember feeling, like, very peaceful, like, after it was all done with. And as much as I didn't want to have a C-section, it didn't, like, scar me. Oh, well, I mean, it did in the actual way, but not in the, like, emotional way. I know a lot of people have, like, a lot of feelings about, like, that happening, especially if it's something that they really didn't want, and I don't feel any of that, like, really. I mean, I wish it would have been nice if it happened the other way, but, like, I, you know, I think, like, I felt the most strongly about it, like, right before it happened. And then after it happened, I was just, like, so happy to, you know, have him and have everything be, like, good and healthy, and that, like, it, I didn't really care. It didn't really matter.
How was it after you came to? Because a lot of the C-section people we've talked to have had kind of, like, a delay, you know, where they maybe their milk didn't come in, or they felt a little bit of a disconnect, you know. I don't know,
I was I was super worried about having trouble bonding, because not because of my C-section, but just because I've never in my life been a big, like, kid person. I was so happy to have my own child, but I didn't grow up, like, babysitting, you know, cousins, or I didn't really, like, know lots of little kids. I didn't feel super comfortable around them, and I was worried that, like, I would be that person that didn't quite bond, and, like, and I think I was just, like, I remember talking to Kyle about it beforehand, and I'm, like, so concerned that this is going to be the case, and I think it freaked him out a little bit, because, like, he was, like, in his head, I think, why are you imagining this worst case scenario, like, but I think for me it was a way to prepare in case that was what happened, and to, like, well, it's totally okay. This is a thing that happens to people, and it'll be fine. And he's like, why are we talking about this? Like, that you might hate our baby. And I'm like, I'm not, you know. But I was really, really worried that I wouldn't bond, like, right away. But it wasn't like that. Like, my milk did take a few days to come in, and that was frustrating and nerve-wracking when we were, like, at the pediatrician, because, you know, he lost a little bit of weight and the normal amount, but... Yeah, they were like, oh, why don't you supplement with formula until your milk comes in? Because I think it was, like, day 4 or 5. But I think we did half of one feeding that way, and then I took a nap and I woke up and my milk could come in. So it wasn't, like, a thing where we did that for a long time. And that was the only formula he ever had, actually, was that, like, teaspoonful, like, on the, when he was, like, 4 days old or something.
How was the recovery in terms of the scar and... showering?
My scar is fine. They do a pretty good job these days, I think, of making them pretty minimal. I mean, it was tough. I was really glad my parents were there for 2 weeks. Like, it was amazing. because it was like having my mom just like cooked and cleaned and did laundry and like did all this stuff. So like all I really had to do was like lay in my bed and like people would like bring me, you know, my baby, and I'd be like just kind of, you know, able to like hang out and really focus on that. That was awesome. Like physically it was tough, and I would really, really prefer not to have another C-section, just because I just remember asking somebody, I had a friend who had just had an appendectomy, and I was like, how long before you could roll over in your sleep and not worry that you were like ripping your insides out? And she said, I think it was 6 weeks. And I think right around 6 weeks, like that's when I started to feel like better. Like, but it's really frustrating not to be able to get up and move around that well on your own. I had a really hard time with that. I'm just like kind of a busy person, and I don't like sitting still, and just having to sit still and like have, you know, have like when he would cry, when Owen would cry at night, that like Kyle would have to go get him for me. Like I couldn't get up out of bed and the bassinet being 2 feet from me and, you know, grab him. Like that, like I couldn't sit up on my own. Every time I had to sit up, you know, he would have to come over and like, you know, pull me up. And I don't know, that was just frustrating. But so like I would not recommend having a C-section as like a fun time. But it was short, really, in the scheme of things. I mean,
So we've been separating these stories into themes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been asking the storytellers, in order to kind of help with that process, to maybe reflect on their experience, and if they can come up with a word or a phrasing of words that maybe, you know, not summarizes, but, you know, we reflects what their experience means to them.
Hmm.
I know it's like a really tough question.
Yeah. Please encapsulate this experience into a word.
It doesn't have to be a word. You know
what I mean? I'm trying to think, because I feel like it was, my experience was kind of that like everything went right except for this one thing. And I'm just trying to think like how to like phrase that in a way that makes sense. Because I feel like some people have such a hard time, and I was lucky to not really have a hard time. But it certainly wasn't easy either. I don't know, I think, I know you said acceptance before, but I think that, like, that was the only thing that was hard about it, was, like, accepting that it wasn't, that it was different than what I wanted. Because it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't really hard to have the C-section. It was harder in my mind, I think, to accept that, like, that was a thing that, like, that my body didn't do it correctly, which it wasn't even that. My doctor kept saying, you are a great candidate for a VBAC, or after you do this, like, you have great birthing, roomy birthing hips or something. And I was like, let's stop saying that. That's not a thing that I want to hear about. But she must have said it like 3 times when she was convincing me to have a C-section, like, as we're going through, you have really roomy birthing hips, this is going to be great next time. And I was like, okay. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I think acceptance, that was the tough part of it for me.
Great.
Yeah,
I think we're good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.